So, how we doing?
Doing good.
Doing well.
All right.
Great.
So, look, let's give me a bit of a report in terms of what's going on since the last time we spoke, and how you guys are doing, and maybe a few of the challenges. And Brent, it's good to see you. How are things going at home?
It's going pretty good at home. I mean, aside from getting used to a new routine, it's going good.
Lack of sleep.
I'm drinking the energy drink, so it's working.
Oh, okay.
An energy drink at 11:05 in the morning. Uh-oh, that's really problematic.
Oh, it's my third one, too, which is bad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. So, Lenny, let's kind of start with you. Why don't you give me a report of what's going on and, what you'd like the focus of the call to be today.
Yeah, just a real quick accounting note or sidekick note. Our branch is able to offer some compensation towards the Supernova program.
Okay.
I've emailed Sydney and Lori, but I haven't heard back from them. So I don't know, maybe like if you okay. them or if you have a phone number and I can call them just so we can get that settled.
Okay. All right. I'll have Cindy, I'll give you her phone number right now.
Yeah, that might be easier.
She's the one that handles all the programming stuff. So let me just give you her phone number. Okay, it's 317-650. 1500.
Okay, perfect. Right. Now that we got that out of the way, things are going very well over on, I think with us and our team.
Okay.
We've started implementing, touching base with people, like a quick check-in. We're going to start it next week just for 10 minutes with an advisor.
Okay.
See how they're doing. And then like touching base with them on Friday for 10 minutes too. So, something that we've started implementing just so we can kind of keep track and see where they're at.
So you're doing the 10 minute huddles. Okay. Great.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Should they be longer, shorter, or?
Well, look, I think you got to be running, several different types of meetings. The 10 minute huddle is, a quick assembly. What are you doing? Anything that you need to report on, any help on anything, what your focus is, boom, 10 minutes.
Yep.
Then there's a weekly, scoreboard meeting. The weekly scoreboard meeting is how many prospects do you have in the pipeline? How many plans do you have going on this week? What assets or revenues did you bring in? How many plans were generated? This is about the numbers, 30 minutes. Once a month, you huddle everybody up and there's a focus on something, an educational topic that they're working on. So you've got your 24-month calendar of things that you're focused on. Things designed to help educate the client, fixed annuities, variable annuities, different types of life insurance policies, concepts, second to die, long-term care, begin to educate clients on a range of topics, manage money. What are your analysts saying in terms of economic overview? So have your agenda of 24 topics and each month, in addition to your regular business that goes in, you say something like, I have an agenda, but before I get started, tell me what's on your mind. And then, listen and deal with that. Today, I wanted to talk to you about your beneficiary designations, okay, on your policies. Do you have other life insurance policies outside of where we are? You know, the mortality tables have changed. We might be able to get more, you know, insurance for less money. Can we do a cost-free policy analysis? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm no insurance expert anymore.
So Curtis, the 10 minute huddles, we're scheduling them like on a weekly basis standing. Should they be scheduled or should they just be like a phone call?
Yeah. The 10 minute huddle, should be with your team. Okay. And, it's all hands on 10 minutes and anybody can make a contribution. You know, or you can go down the list. You could say, Bill, tell me what you focus on, any issues, any problems, you know, what are you trying to accomplish for the day? You know, and what you're doing here is you're quietly and subtly, or maybe overtly, inspecting what you expect, right? You know, you want to know that they're on the phones, that they're getting appointments, that they're getting Zoom calls, that they've got some kind of, you know, focus to bring in new relationships and or households.
So because of the Zoom or Teams, we realize when we have more than like two or three people, it's a real, people don't pay attention. And that's why we were doing just a quick 10 minute huddle.
Could be by phone. Yeah.
Yeah. So doing those, you think within the 10 minutes, we can go over their numbers real quick too? Or you think that should be a separate meeting?
I think that should be a separate meeting. I think that should be your scoreboard meeting at the end of the week. Give them a week. Remember that scoreboard section in the guidebook, you know, where everybody is reporting on their numbers. Now, if you've got, you know, five people, you know, can't do that in a 10-minute huddle. You know, maybe you know, if you've got four things that you're measuring them on, then what you want to be doing is you want to be hitting them between the eyes. Report on what you're doing in terms of planning, in terms of what cases we have in the pipeline, so on and so forth.
Gotcha. Okay?
Then what that does is if somebody's got like a goose egg, then that's telling you that there's not going to be a very good outcome, you know, at the end of the month that they keep getting goose eggs. Mm-hmm. So then you might have to pull them aside and have an individual, you know, coaching session. You know, Bill, I noticed on the last few calls, man, that you've been getting goose eggs from a performance standpoint. Now I used to have them turn in activity sheets to me so I could actually see what they have. And if they lie to me, I'm going to find out, because if you're telling me you got 10 prospects and you got no conversions, either you're lying to me about your prospects or you can't close. Let's figure out what it is.
So Curtis, I think something that we have a fine line with is, you know, micromanaging and like giving them their space, right, to excel. So, right. You know, there's a new, I'd say, coming down the pipeline for us or from up above is for our advisors to report on Salesforce, exactly what you're saying. And it actually would be helpful. And we know that.
Right.
Don't know if that's like micromanaged or how that looks, because we know it would be helpful. It just, I know the way the advisor would look like, oh, it's another thing to input, like, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So just your thoughts on that.
Look, Salesforce, look, it's like this. Here's the analogy, and you can communicate the any analogy that you want. But I ran track, you know, in high school and a year in college, and I ran the quarter mile. And I ran it in 47.7, you know, when I went to the state championships, mile relay. And we set a record. Now, why do I know those numbers? Okay. Because I kept track. There was a stopwatch. There was some measurement standards. Now, what if all I did was just run around the track? How would I know if I was making progress? And so that's what you have to communicate to the people. How do you know if you're making progress if you're not keeping track?
Gotcha.
The football players, you know, you watch a football game, man, and the announcers, he's, 23 for 40. He's, or the full field goal kicker or the right tackle. They got stats on everybody. The same in baseball. Stats galore. You look at the back of a, baseball card, runs batted in, all that stuff, right? Our business is very similar. You live by your stats. Your stats are an indicator of how you're performing. And that's how you should position it with them.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood.
I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel comfortable with that?
I feel comfortable with that and I understand it. I just feel for whatever reasons, the advisor or the culture doesn't like, they like it, but then they don't end up doing it. Even though we expect it, but when we inspect it, like you're saying, they end up not doing it. And then we get busy and then we end up going into something else and we kind of like forget.
Yeah, they don't like it because it's scrutiny about piss poor performance. When they are performing, they love it.
Gotcha.
When they're not performing, oh God, here I go. I'm putting it out there for the world to see.
Sounds like an Arbucci to me. that's a guy in our office who has that same mentality.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're everywhere. They're in every office. Oh my God. I got to do this. And why do I have to, they're the whiners. Why do I have to do it this way? You know, gotcha. And quite simply, it's, you got to track your performance. Consistent tracking leads to consistent performance.
Gotcha. Understood. That works great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But your question, fantastic question.
Lenny, can I ask you a question? The people that you ask them to report every week, why do you do that every week? Do they, like, how many people actually do it out of like the total?
Not many. I would say like two.
Out of how many?
Out of 20. So one out of 10.
Okay. So I have one out of four that does it, routinely. And I told
them
to do it, but they haven't done it.
Yeah.
So I figured we'll have Gina send out an email today saying like, hey, this needs to be completed for all our teams.
I think the first thing that you do is you huddle up your people and you tell them the significance associated with measurement and performance. And, what doesn't get measured doesn't, get counted. And, you've got to explain to them the rationale for it. And then you have to send out, email reminders. Now, that's a consequence, so to speak. It can be a positive consequence and it can be a negative consequence. If somebody is killing it and is a consistent high achiever, then they might get exempt. They maybe have a way of doing it, but I will tell you that even your high achievers, if they're met, one thing I notice when I'm coaching people, the really high performers track everything. They know what they did yesterday. They know what they did last month. They know what they did last year. Okay. Now I'm coaching this one guy and, he says, well, I started off doing 1.7 million and, the year I spent with you, I added $500,000. I went up to 2.2 million. I just brought in a $17 million relationship. I mean, they know their numbers.
Yeah. The funny thing is, everyone wants to make more money. And then when we try to track it or do it, I guess it's more of what you're saying, those goose eggs and what they say and what they do are two totally different things.
Right. So you're trying to change a culture. you're trying to build a culture of success. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, you've got to huddle them up and you've got to stay consistent with your messaging. And your messaging can't be just do it. People want to know why. Okay.
Yep.
And what we found is that people who measure their performance tend to outperform those who don't.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Okay. Great question, though. Great question. What else is on your minds, guys? What you want to talk about? Are we situated with the type of meetings we should be holding here? The daily stand up, the weekly scoreboard, the monthly, strategy, the half day planning meeting every quarter, get together for half day, get outside, bring in a guest speaker, and talk just strategy. How are we going to execute on our different business lines and have one of the, advisors, talk about what they're doing and success. And then, every year you have a very deep dive strategic meeting. You know, these are our plans for the year. This is our vision for our future. And this is where I need you, you know, to be focused. And, this is how we're going to be, you know, measured, and you give some recognition. Also on these, daily stand-ups and weekly scoreboard calls, give out recognition. So let's go through a sample agenda of what do you want to do? You know, we're going to talk about measurement. We're going to talk about who's performing, who should be getting accolades that week, and then giving them some personal recognition. You know, we had a thing called trinkets and trash, you know, and sometimes somebody would get a ball cap or they'd get a piece of lucite with a new offering embedded in it. I'm telling you, that stuff sounds silly, but it works. It's a form of recognition. And if somebody had, I'll tell you a funny story. Wynn Smith of the Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Finner, and Smith. Still good friends with him. And Wynn was vice chairman of International. And he had submitted an invoice for like $15,000. And I was the chief of staff. I signed off on it. And the president looks at it and says, comes to me and says, why did you sign off on this $15,000 expense for Wynn Smith? And I said, they just closed $1 billion deal, and that was just part of the celebration. Oh, shut him up.
That's a nice deal.
Yeah. So, but he was recognizing his people. There was a champagne celebration on winning the mandate, and it made people feel good.
Agreed.
And I told the president, I says, I don't think that you want to micromanage this stuff. You got bigger fish to fry. Okay. So the other thing that you can do when you're tracking numbers is you can give recognition. Verbal is really, really great. A little trinket is even better. I used to have a catalog of, of Merrill Lynch stuff, right? And in it, it had rings, earrings, necklaces, T-shirts, blankets, coffee mugs, all emblazoned with the logo on them.
Sounds like Brandt's office.
Yeah. And
like
I give out that stuff, man, and people, they loved it. You know, they loved the recognition and they loved the little trinket that they got. There were glasses etched with the bull on them. There was all kinds of, the catalog had all kinds of stuff. And I used to keep a closet full of that stuff. So when somebody did something great, I'd go into the closet and I'd pull some of that stuff out and I'd give it to them. So you're fostering it. And then, you know, you say, hey, Bill Edwards, man, he's tracking, he's got his CRM, done. And, you know, for folks that are doing it on a consistent basis, give them a trinket. You know, for doing it, you're reinforcing the behavior you want to see.
So Curtis, like you know, it's February, the end of February. So we're on track to hit our goal, but we feel like there's people on our team that could be doing like double right now that are just not doing it.
Okay.
So aside from everything, is there like special sessions we should have with them or?
Yeah. So look, there's the stuff that you do that's more public. Look, all the praise and everything is done publicly. All the, when you need to coach somebody on performance, you do that privately. Okay. So now you're doing one-on-one coaching, you know, Bill, look, I've been looking at your numbers. You know, your average right now. And I don't think when I look at your background, I don't think you've been averaging anything in your life. I think you're capable of so much more. And so let's talk about what's happening and how do we get you to where you need to be? Okay. Is it the sales skills? Is it the motivation? Is it the support? Is it the help? Is it your focus? Are you distracted right now? You know, you got to ask the questions. You got to probe like a doctor. Where does it hurt? Okay. You know, sometimes pain travels. Somebody might have a hurt in the thigh and then it's causing pain in the lower back. So you've got to make that assessment and then you've got to coach on it. Remember that article? I think you all have it. It's called the Leader as Coach.
Yep.
So now you're into coaching somebody one-on-one. Look, the coaching thing, I tell you, is probably in the industry as a whole is the missing link. Not enough of it is being done. People are left to their own devices and they have mediocre performance. I had a track coach that was like 60 years old and walked with a cane. And every year we went to the state championships. So
Curtis, let's take that same example and let's say, you know, we were going to supernova our team and concentrate on like, you know, the people that really make us money. I think that's what we do now. And that's what Mario's saying is we have a couple people that, you know, really excel. We, you know, we've met with other people and we're like, hey, you know, we would love, like, hear our expectations. And we've had people literally tell us basically that they're day traders now from the market and, you know, oh, I don't really need to work. So just curious on your thoughts, like, would you just double down on your best people and then maybe concentrate and do a little bit more coaching on your middle people and kind of just leave the last behind or?
Look, you didn't hire people to be day traders.
No, I okay. agree.
You hired them to come in and do their jobs. Okay. So if they're going to be a day trader, then, you know, they can't be using that as, their sole source of income. So, you know, so what's the problem? Is there a confidence issue that they don't think that they can do the kind of, make the kind of money that they can in the business, that they can do a better job day trading?
I think we have an issue where what tends to happen is someone may have a really good month. Let's say they make 20,000 and yeah. then next month or two, they do nothing. And then they get angry because they're not making money. And it's like a repetitive cycle.
Oh yeah.
Consistent income. Even though we're trying to coach them on, you know, hey, like maybe take a little time, celebrate like a day and then, you know, get back at it. You know, they'll end up taking like a whole month or two. They get frustrated. Then it comes out and we can see it. So just maybe more consistency. Mike's, we're all laughing because we know like there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. There's Joe who has the big month and then the next month he sucks because he took his eye off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he rested on his laurels. He stuck his head in the sand. And, so here's what you have to do as leaders is, you know, like you have a campaign, and people get charged up for like a month. Maybe it lasts 90 days. I don't know. When I'd run a campaign, you know, people were focused and everybody was energetic and they were hitting these numbers. And then I noticed that after the campaign was over, that the business went like that. It started to, you know, go back down. So what I needed to do is I needed to do things that kept people on this high, you know? So it's like once you institute some type of campaign or you've got this motivational speaker that you've invited in, what are you doing to keep them on that high? Okay. As a leader, do you let them go back down into a peak or do you keep them on that constant high? So here's what you did for month one. They're on that high in that trajectory. And then there's nothing to follow up with and it goes back down. And then you got to get them back on that high again.
Yep.
So, you know, always have something that you've got your team working on, you know, and, you know, the industry is backed off from this a lot, but we used to run, you know, kind of a cash management, campaign and you had to open up, CMA accounts and if you did really, really well, the first tier people were going to get a trip to Maui or someplace.
Yeah, they, FINRA and all of them have got a little stricter on campaigns. So we're pretty,
unfortunate. But you can do something for education, right?
Yep.
So you can have an educational workshop at, you know, some spot that makes sense. Okay.
Yep.
Maybe it's in Destin, Florida. Yeah. Well, you can't do it right now with the pandemic, but
yeah,
you know, but you're going to have to be creative and think about, you know, campaigning with an educational component.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea. It's been a while since we've done that. So
yeah. And so, you know, get some campaigns going, get a Wharton professor, you know, to address, you know, your folks, get somebody of renown and respect to address your people that succeed. Okay. So think creatively about, you know, how do you campaign something with an educational component to keep the people on kind of a high?
Yep. No, I think that's great.
Okay. So what are you thinking, Brent?
No, I was just thinking, I spoke to someone up north who works in our Connecticut branch, and she's more like a branch operations manager for a producer group that specializes in our retirement benefits group model, you know, working mostly the schools and generating clients from, you know, the variety of nonprofit entities. So what I was going to ask is, maybe I think it would be helpful to get her on the phone, so, or on one of these Zoom calls, so that she can kind of articulate the model that she set up for the advisors in Connecticut, and then you could have a better idea of what's working up there based on our model. And then I think that would be able to give us the opportunity to try to put pieces in play that kind of emulate that model.
Right.
So that we can, you know, continue to progress here.
Yeah. You know, my thing is I can pivot any service, product, idea, I can pivot. So if somebody is out there and it's about widgets, how many widgets? You know, what's the features and benefits of that widget? How many need to be done in order for people to really get paid? Okay. And that's how you have to think. And are you, you know, are you getting your people excited about something each month? Or is it like, ho-hum, I looked at your numbers and, you know, they seem to be off. What do you have them focused on? What's your member in Supernova 24-month calendar? What's your calendar got these people focused on? Okay. Michael, what are you thinking? But good thought, Brent. Good thought.
No, I think all this is just good stuff to take in and try to continue. I mean, again, always trying to tweak some of the practices and trainings and structure that we have.
Right.
You know, we had many, many years ago when we first started, we had used a Friday as the scorecard day. You know, we used to be reporting the score. And, you know, everybody would go through their numbers. And obviously, you know, the people that didn't want to do it each week were the ones that had no numbers, right? It's like, I don't like reporting it on a Friday, right? Well,
yeah, right.
No one that had good numbers ever said that. It was only the people, and for whatever reason over the years, we got away from that. But I do think it's important to get back to it. Yeah. And that's a way of which, like we said, either, you know, train them and report them in the game or out, right? Because one way, right, they're either going to want to improve their numbers or they're going to get frustrated that they leave. And yeah, other, it's better. Either way, it's terrible to have the people that are hanging around here that shouldn't be here.
Well, and you know, the other thing too that I've always felt is that if somebody doesn't make it, a piece of me walks out the door with them. And so I feel bad. And so I felt it was like my duty and responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen. And in order for that not to happen, I had to add some structure and process, because the natural tendency is for people to, they have that gravitational pull toward the things that are fun and easy rather than the things that are difficult, challenging, and goal achieving. And so I had to upset that cycle lack of performance, and really try to turn these organizations into, you know, really crackerjack organizations. And I'm going to have the occasional person who doesn't want to follow the game plan. And what I would do is when I put out those rankings and gave out my little widgets, and they're sitting in the room, you know, and somebody's not getting the widget, they feel it. And next time they want to be one of the folks on the leaderboard. So keep it all positive. No negative, just positive. Celebrate people's success. Okay? Rewards and recognition.
That works.
What are you thinking, Mario?
I think it's, we don't have a clear runway for people in a sense of mapping out the success. We okay. do have it. We have it in the retirement benefits group.
Okay.
But we don't have it elsewhere, right? Okay. Like how like we discussed with you about AUM goals and hey, you need 10 million that first year, right?
Right.
For us, it's, you know, make $27,000 your first year, you know, great job. And, okay. and doesn't really give people a path.
Right.
So I think like you were saying, make it a campaign. Maybe if we map out, you know, a 24-month roadmap to say, if you do this, your residual income will be X, right? Right? Get them excited and really put it on paper and say, and then manage to those goals for the somebody's first 24 months in the business.
Yeah. You know, you've got to, in their business plan, you've got to get a little bit into the personal in terms of what drives them so that when you are coaching them, you say, look, you know, Joe, you know, you want to get that 37-foot C-Ray with the twin 454s and, you know, this thing is going to cost X amount of dollars, as you know. And sometimes, you know, take them to the dock and have somebody take them for a test drive on one of those things. You know, let people start to dream about what they are looking to get. Now, I'm not saying everybody's all materialistic and that sort of thing, but you know, if your goal is you don't want any of that stuff, but you want to be a philanthropist, then, we're going to try to help you get that foundation and make a contribution so that you can give money and scholarships away to deserving students. So, you know, or you can give things to money to Meals on Wheels, whatever that self-actualization is for that individual, you've got to find out what it is.
So Monday, everyone's going to go on a test drive in Brandt's Tesla and get them motivated.
All right. The factory is down the road from me.
Is it? Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's in Fremont. I'm in Livermore, but. You okay. know, the Tesla factory is here, so there's Teslas all over the place.
Yes. And then, Curtis, one thing that we do have, you know, when someone new starts, you know, we're all about joint work and bringing on the experts.
Right.
But the way the experts get compensated is going on the case. So let's say they take, you know, 30% and I give you 70. But the expert's probably going to do majority of the work. They're going to close it.
Okay.
We do have people that fight that, especially when they're new. Right. We believe in Supernova and giving out leads. Just kind of curious, because the people that fight it never end up succeeding because they want to do it all on their own and they end up failing. Maybe just thoughts on getting them to buy in or the value of that, or maybe if we should switch something around on that.
No, I think, you know, look, you know, if somebody goes out on an appointment and, you know, look, the greed factor is always going to exist where they go out on the appointment, but they've never seen it before. They've never closed one before. And I always, my philosophy is, look, 70% of something is better than 0% of nothing, right?
All day.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've got to, look, we want you to get better. We want you to get good, but there's got to be a little give up until you, you know, till you get better. And so, you know, you got to help them understand that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, as a manager, I went on lots of calls with people. And so, you know, I didn't get anything, but if I needed to bring in the estate planning specialist, you know, that business got haircutted for that particular specialist. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's how collaboration works in a team environment. And hopefully they'll rise to the level where they become an expert in something and they go out on an appointment with somebody and they split the business. But you got to emphasize this is about team. It's about collaboration. It's about leveraging all the resources and everybody gets, Wall Street was always set up on you go out and you, there's some game out there, you kill it. And then, you get to eat some of it. You don't get to eat the whole thing. I mean, that's just how it works.
Gotcha. Agreed. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're in the role of coaching and convincing and setting the tone for the culture and the behaviors that you want. Take all your people and supernova them, individually, that they get, they get a monthly meeting. They get to talk about what they're doing or what's on their minds. And they get 4 reviews. So supernova your people. Get a folder on each one. Keep notes. The last time we spoke, you're pulling out that folder and it's got the notes in there, or you're using your COM. The last time we talked, we were talking about this. We were talking about that. What kind of progress are we making?
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon you're going to have that monthly meeting and they're going to come in and they're going to be prepared with something positive. See, they don't think that you're going to follow up. Okay. They're going to think, he's going to say what he's got to say and now I'm not going to see him for 6 months. Okay. So pivot, flip it back around, make sure that you're having, those coaching sessions and collaborate among yourselves too. That's very, very powerful. Where each of you are involved in some kind of a collaborative effort, where you're leveraging people, resources, talent, ideas, thoughts. That's so powerful.
Agree completely. So, okay.
All right. I think, that's all the time we should take for today. Digest it. Use your supernova skills. Make sure these folks are developing centers of influence. All the basic stuff we've been going through. And we'll continue to go back and review those things as your questions come up and how this stuff continues to fit in the organization that you're trying to build.
That works great. Thanks, Curtis. Appreciate it, Curtis.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Always enjoy it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
Bye-bye.